Eric Marshall makes the music of Young Oceans, and he's here on a return visit to The Antidote. It's good to have you back, Eric.
Good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Do you know how long ago it was? 2017, when you and I last got together for a chat about your early releases.
Oh, wow.
You've had a lot happening since then.
Yeah, I have. That seems like another life.
Well, you know what? Let me bring in a list of Young Ocean releases that came out since 2017. So 2019 was Songs of Christmas, 2020, Echo Your Silence, 2021, You Are Fullness. Then you had the collab album, Subjects in Motion, in 2022. 2024 brought out Somehow I Know It's Love. And now you've got your current album, Love Like Raindrops Made of Light, that released this October. You got to fess up here. Do you do anything else except make music?
I do lots of things other than make music. Yeah. It's just so good to hear you throw that list back at me because, man, I have to say that right now, after just putting out this new record, I just feel real tired. I'm feeling an exhaustion now that I've never experienced. And actually I'm trying to help a friend of mine, another artist. I'm looking at producing an EP for her. She makes this beautiful music. It's an Australian artist. And I'm just sitting here with a session open and I'm going, I don't know if I have it in me to make another record right now. So maybe this is good timing for you to remind me. Maybe I'm overdoing it a little bit.
And right at this very moment, you're asking yourself, why am I doing this interview? I've got other things to do.
No, this is good. Actually, it pulled me away from my speakers and my ears needed a break. This is good.
But you know what else? I forgot to mention that you had the two instrumental releases.
Yes.
But seriously, I want to know why you're creating music. Is this a job or is it a passion?
First, it's a passion. Always has been a passion. I've been playing music since I was 18 or so. And since I was about, I guess, 21, I kind of made up my mind around then that it's really what I wanted to do with my life. I never stopped to think, how can I make money doing it? That just wasn't even something that I thought about, which was, you could say, is problematic. But now it's proved to be a gift because I am able to look back at these last 25 years of making music and realize that I wasn't doing it for any other reason other than just love for the craft. And when it comes to this Young Oceans music, as a prayer, as a way of talking with or talking about or sort of trying to embrace my maker, so to speak.
Well, you and I don't have time to get into all of your releases, but I do want to touch on a couple of them. You really went for a change with Subjects in Motion. A lot of artists would describe it as being reimagined from the Suddenly album, but you went further than that. And I think the biggest stretch might have been the unusual vocal style you gave on Walls Come Down.
Mm.
Do you find it good to stretch limits?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I've always felt that there's really no point in making the same thing twice. You know, that's a nice thing to say as an artist. I think that artists tend to make things that they like. You know, you put on a Rolling Stone record and you know it's the Rolling Stones in about 2.5 seconds. You can tell by the tone, the attitude, the feel of it, right? And a lot of people have said that about Young Oceans music, that it takes you to this particular world. But yeah, I think if you wanted to compare the Suddenly record to Subjects in Motion, and really the stuff that I've been working on the last couple of years in general, is that I've started to get more interested in what it means to sing more quietly, to sing with a lot of discipline, to not use, you know, belting as a source of dynamics. Subjects in Motion, of course, has a bunch of various artists on that, but that was what we were all kind of going for, was a very subdued approach, and let the power come from hopefully the composition of the song, and hopefully from the performance of the instrumentalists, and not from the kind of rock and roll push, you know, on a vocal, which I love to do. I'm probably a rock singer, you know, by kind of like training. I learned to sing with loud bands. I think that's something that isn't always suited to the kind of emotion that I'm trying to render from these songs, though.
So you're able to dial it back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the style on Walls Come Down, I'm singing the same thing three times extremely quietly. That's the process. So it's triples of my vocal. And almost whispering is kind of the way that I do it.
With Subjects in Motion being a collaborative album, Young Oceans pulled in all kinds of guests like Josh Garrels on This Wild Earth. Now, did you let each artist decide what kind of a spin they would give on a song?
So I co-produced this record with my friend John Seal. No, we had real specific ideas about what we were hoping to get in terms of performances from these singers. John had a very specific notion for each song, which was really cool. He really thought it through very carefully. And we tried to pick songs that would match someone's voice. In a couple of cases, we say, hey, what do you think of these three songs? And a couple of the singers, you know, picked the one that they felt most drawn to. And then after that, we did our best to sculpt it in such a way that it would suit them. Miraculously worked out, I think, really well.
Well, as I mentioned before, you and I have spoken together in the past, and I know I shouldn't be asking this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Your artist name. I mean, oceans are ancient, so how did you come to call it Young Oceans? I mean, is there a hidden meaning?
I mean, there's a hidden meaning in the sense that I think there's hidden meaning in so many things in this life. When I was trying to come up with, you know, a name, you got to name it something. Mm-hmm. I knew that I didn't want to use my name. That would have felt really, really odd for what I was hoping to do with the music. I remember sensing that there was an immediate and obvious paradox to those two words together, almost an impossibility. And I really love that. So much of what we read in the scriptures, the things that we really wrestle with, are paradoxes that in some cases we're not willing to just let be a mystery. I think that's probably what I was going for. Now, these days, it's, you know, because the project is 15 years old, now it feels a little bit pretentious when I explain it. But there was a verse in the 103rd Psalm. There's a Eugene Peterson translation of a section of that psalm where it says, and he will renew your youth like that of the eagles. The way Eugene Peterson translates that section is he simply writes that you are always young in God's presence. And that was kind of where the young idea came from. It just felt like that's a really sweet phrase. I want to claim that for all of us.
I'd appreciate that for my physical age. I am getting older.
Yeah. Well, you know, embrace the paradox, man.
That's it. Well, just last year, Young Oceans released Somehow I Know It's Love. Now, is it just me, or were you broadening out your music style on that release?
That one was very much a new concept in terms of sounds from the get-go. That's what I wanted. I worked with a friend of mine, a producer in New York, and we decided from the beginning to do, it's something that I first learned about years ago. I don't know if you remember the band, The Postal Service.
Oh, yeah.
And the deal with that project, it was a side project for the singer and the other guy in Postal Service, is that they would work in the same digital workstation. They would play with tracks, get it how they want, and then mail a CD-ROM, you know, like a burned CD to the other guy. Then he would load up that session in his studio and then begin working on it. it's light years better, you know, to do it now, to do that back and forth thing, because everything can be shared online. But that's how we did this record. I would start a song, put down something that felt cool, something that felt right. I would sing a scratch vocal, and then I would send it to him. He would put in drums and bass or a synth or a bunch of things and send it back to me. And I would kind of chop stuff up and pick and choose what I liked, redo it and send it back to him. And we did that for like three rounds on each song. And then I flew up to New York to spend a couple of days together, getting it all how we wanted and singing the vocals together. So that was how this one was made.
It's still a lot of work, whatever way you look at it.
Yes, it is.
Lyrically, on Somehow I Know It's Love, there was also a bit of a change. The songs on that weren't always worship-focused. You know, you show how we have struggles on the song Maybe when you sing, when I'm crushed utterly alone, when I've nothing left, when I'm scorned, maybe, maybe I'm closer. I do understand your point, but I can see people finding that difficult to accept.
Yeah. I've learned that what constitutes a worship song or a truthful prayer, that definition has just gotten broader and broader to me as I get older. And I feel like I've learned over the years to trust my gut, my spirit, as to whether what I'm singing is true and real or not. Not to say theologically, I've always been very clear with people that this project is not a theological project. It's an art project, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't look to me for theology. Test it by all means. But I am really interested in drilling down at an honest utterance. So that song is actually very simple, you know, in its poetry. I don't even know that it is poetry. It's almost just like, it's just a description of, you know, the state that I found myself in when I wrote it. If you dig into it, you know, that's precisely what Jesus talked about, is when you feel furthest from happiness, or when, you know, when you are, he uses that word, scorned, you know, by the people around you, you're blessed, you know, and such an outlandish claim for Jesus to say that, you know. So I think that's why I say maybe, but it's a cheeky maybe, because I do know in my spirit that it's true.
Let's move on to something else. Young Oceans went deep on Savages in Gold. First verse, right around their neck, folly in their soul, savages in gold. And I think we'd all probably want to deny it, but aren't we all prideful? I mean, don't you struggle with that yourself?
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks for asking about that one. No one's ever commented on that one ever. That one took probably the longest on that album to get it where it felt good. So one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 73. The Bible says it's written by Asaph, not attributed to King David.
Mm-hmm.
So it has this different feel to it. And it's this guy kind of confessing that he's in this loop, this sort of like rut of envying people around him that he perceives to be well off and happy and successful and running things on this earth, so to speak. And he's really pretty miserable about it. And goes on, and eventually comes to the place where he says, this was a wearisome task for me to understand what in the world you're up to here, God. Ostensibly be blessing these people, but they seem to be squandering all these good things, you know, by the way that they live. Mm-hmm. And then he says, and I couldn't understand it until I went into the sanctuary of God. You know, for us, I think now that is to say, until I got right in my spirit, went in that mysterious prayer closet place where you're really honest before God, you know. And he says, and I perceived their end. And then he goes on to say, but I'm the same way. When I was envious of the arrogant, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you until I went into the sanctuary of God. It's never, look, Lord, they have sinned. What are you going to do? It's always, look, Lord, we have sinned. It's such a gorgeous psalm. It's just something I go to often when I sort of find myself being drawn back to that place of envy of people that seem to have it all, or of self-pity, you know. It's a real kind of like reset bit of poetry.
Well, what I love is how Savages in Gold sums up with, and you were mentioning part of it, when you sing, oh, but then I enter by your hand into the sanctuary, and all I see is your glory, and your love enfolds me. I mean, that is prayerful. But is the song also personal?
100%. All these songs are personal. Yeah. I think that's the gift of what I get to do, is that I get to, these are just journal entries from me that I get to edit and, you know, put out there.
Something else that's different with Somehow I Know It's Love and your latest album, Love Like Raindrops Made of Light, is that both of them sound kind of stripped down compared to your earlier stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm just getting to a place where I don't want to keep making what we made in the past. Some of it is accidental too, and just sort of circumstantial. When COVID happened, we were about to make the album Your Fullness. And I had already moved to Nashville, but we had a plan. It's always been the same crew of players. We were all going to meet in New York with our producer and camp out for a couple of weeks and make the record like we always do, traditional way. And then COVID hit, and that all obviously had to change. Nobody could travel. And we ended up, for the first time, making all of Your Fullness remotely. Everybody did their thing from where they were. And it was a really different process. Wasn't able to give the whole session to my producer. He ended up basically mixing what I produced. It was kind of my first like trial by fire at producing a full-length record myself, you know, here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And it was brutal. And I learned a ton. There's so many things on that album that would have been different. Probably much more hi-fi had we been up in New York with Mike, our producer. But I think something I really took from that, which was, I think I have more to do here in terms of the production. I have more that I wanted to flesh out. When I listen back to the earlier records that we made, I'm proud of them, but they feel overblown to me. They feel like we didn't cut enough things. We didn't leave enough space. So when I make these songs now, I'm just always searching for what are the elements that have to be in there. And if anything is superfluous, mute it. That's not necessarily how we made the first set of records. They were a little bit more maximalist. And my mind now, I think maybe it's just because we just all live in such a noisy world, noisy from every angle, our screens, our news, how we interact with digital. We just have so much input in our lives. And I just kind of made up my mind these last couple of years that if we're going to add to the stock of media in the world, I at least want it to be something that brings pause and peace and maybe some rest to people's ears.
Peace was exactly the word that I would have used for your music.
Well, thank you.
I've heard that you described Love Like Raindrops Made of Light as being part two of two, being the companion to last year's Somehow album. How so?
To me, Somehow I Know It's Love is the imagery. It's grayscale, and the keys and the sort of modal aspect to many of those songs and the droning kind of aspect to many of the songs. I think there's five songs in that record that are literally two chords. It's a real discipline in minimalism and in introspection. Is that how I feel about the 2024 record? And it's a lot of questions. It's a lot of wrestling as well, the content. There's a real tension to it. And I love that album. It's one of my favorites that we've done. And then the songs that came after that for Love Like Raindrops were more open, were more, dare I say, joyful and more childlike than that one. But they still retained that kind of same quiet tension that I was trying to capture. So, yeah, for me, it's sort of like, it's kind of night and day, you know, it's black and white to full color. And so those two are meant to live as a pair.
Well, speaking of songs that bring out peace, that comes up in Take My Hand, where again you sing, I could make the earth spin with my feet. I could sing a star song in my sleep. I could swim the sun, but need not wait. If you take my hand. And of course, taking someone's hand is probably the most comforting thing of all. But relating it to faith, is that the connection you have with Christ?
I know it's possible. I would say that I've had glimpses, maybe just a few in my life, of a lightness. And I dare to say this, but like a glimpse of that eternal thing that is on offer to all of us. And I treasure those visions, you know, and those moments in prayer that I've had. I'm just haunted by the words of Jesus where he said, look, the kingdom is here now. It's all around you. You don't have to wait, you know, for these crazy things like, oh yeah, you see me doing all these healings and all these miracles. You're going to do even more amazing things, he says to his followers. And I'm haunted by it because most days I see no evidence of that around me or within me. And then there's days where some kind of light breaks through and you have this glimpse of like, this thing's much more beautiful than I thought. And there are things happening here, maybe in the minuscule, you know, if we keep our eyes open, that are miraculous all the time. And it's, of course, because of the Word made flesh, the Word that was there at the beginning, the one whom we read, all things were made through him. It's insane.
This new album often speaks about the outdoors, mountains, wilderness, wildflowers, songbirds, moonlight, even dandelions. Was that actually an intentional theme?
I just think you can't get away from images of nature, although nature is, of course, you know, living in this state of groaning, you know, where even the natural world feels the effects of the rift between us and God. Nature will always draw you back to that paradox and that thing outside of time and space. You know, as I speak to you now, I'm looking out the many windows in my studio at leaves fall right now here in Nashville, and it's perfect. You know, the leaves, you know, I'm not anthropomorphizing, but like they know what to do. They know just what to do. That little leaf that I'm looking at right now, no one in the universe is looking at it except for me. And that thing's going to fall to the ground here, maybe in the next couple hours, and melt into the earth and eventually spawn new life.
Unless you go outdoors with your rake and rake them up.
Unless I go with my rake or my dog pees on it or something, you know. you know, so I think nature is, it says it all, you know. And I experience probably more than anything in this life, I experience God's nearness in nature. So, yeah, I think it's just inevitable for me to sing a lot about it.
One of those songs is Daydreamer. I want to be a songbird, sweet but somber, bathed in beauty, and you'd sing right through me. Something I'd like to know is, should a song always be poetic? This one certainly is.
Should it always be poetic? Great question. Gosh. Well, I don't know. I mean, I have lyrics that I read back without the music accompanying it, and I'm embarrassed of it, you know.
Don't say that.
Well, it's, you know, it happens. And then others, you know, hearing you recite that right now, I was like, oh, wow, who wrote that? Sometimes you get lucky. But I don't really understand poetry, to be honest. That's why I make songs. Like, I read poetry. I'm not a great collector of it. I'm not very knowledgeable about poetry. Took some courses in college. But for me, opening up a book of straight poetry feels like a chore. I think poetry, in an ideal sense, has to work a lot harder, you know, than a song. And that's how poetry is. You just have words on a paper. So I wouldn't know because I'm just not much of a poetry expert. I'm just kind of a little bit more blue collar with it all.
You know, there's something I'd almost forgotten to ask about. On previous albums, you've had other musicians helping out. Now, you're mentioning about working with the producer, but what about on your latest? Were you doing this all solo?
No, so Rob Ritchie, who's played on all but two of the albums, he still is in New York. He's a phenomenal guitar player and pedal steel player. He came down to Nashville for a week or so, and we started with his parts. So he's playing all the acoustic guitars. He's playing most of the electric guitars. Mason, our old school drummer, who also lives here in town, he's playing the drums. Kaneen is the female vocalist. She's been on every record. And then same producer that produced Somehow I Know It's Love, his name is Karim. He's up in New York. He played bass on this one and mixed. And I did a little bit of everything else.
Okay, now I've got it. Well, the final song on the album, Our Song Will Be More Beautiful, is about renewal. Can we pulverize every sewer into a garden? And our song will be more beautiful. Why did you choose that song in particular to close up the release?
Oh, I'm always looking for that kind of benediction moment at the end of an album. You know, when you get to the place where the mixes are done and you have to sequence it, it's really fun to experience different orders and what it does to you as a listener. But every order that I tried, this song always felt like it had to be last. And I think I had that in mind as we were wrapping it up. The song had a lot more going on in it in terms of parts and instruments. We cut 20, 30 tracks from that to get with what you're left with. Again, trying to be disciplined toward minimalism. So, yeah, it just felt like a natural closer for me the whole time.
I want you to tell me something. How would you try to describe Love Like Raindrops Made of Light to someone who's deaf?
Well, I would say the one thing a deaf person has going for them, you know, above those of us that can hear, is that they're much more in tune to changes in light. And I think kind of works out because raindrops aren't made of light. Or are they? I would probably point them toward that experience of waking up in the morning. And if you're lucky enough to have a bright sun on your face first thing in the morning, It changes your whole countenance. There's nothing quite like having hot sun on your face to be reminded of the benevolency of the universe, which is to say, the love of God.
Eric, as always, this has been a good talk. Thanks for speaking with The Antidote about Young Oceans.
Thank you. Really thoughtful questions, Dave. Really a treat to speak with you.